2 Peter chapter 2, the book of Revelation, and start working your way back towards Matthew, and you'll run right into it. 2 Peter chapter number 2, we'll read the first six verses, verses 1 through 6 responsively. I'll begin reading in verse number 1, you'll join me in verse number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the world, the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly," and join me on verse number 6, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love and you thank you, Lord. These your people are here now, Lord. They've obeyed. Lord, they have shown up. Lord, it would be pointless for them to be here without your Holy Spirit. Lord, speaking to us, Lord, you've already spoken to our heart, Lord, through the fellowship, Lord, through Sunday school and through the music. But Lord, in a special way now, as we come to the main part of the service, Lord, we look at the truth that you have prepared for us, Lord. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. Challenge us, Lord, to do more for you and to be more like you. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Now, I need you to keep your Bibles open today. I need you to keep your mind open, and I need you to listen to me today. I don't normally preach on this topic. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but a couple, few times a year, we'll touch it, and today happens to be one of those times. I don't have a vendetta. I think it's just something that the Lord wanted at this time, and I want to help you today. I call the sermon, "Hell Has a Purpose." Hell has a purpose. God warns us here in this passage that there are a world full of false prophets and false preachers. The Bible says false prophets, false teachers that bring damnable heresy. Folks, that's a pretty serious charge. That is a charge that I don't want against me, just so you know. There are things I must preach because the Word of God says so, not because I enjoy it. If I preached everything I enjoyed and only those things, I will stand before God in trouble, let me tell you. I don't enjoy some of the things I preach. But we live in a generation of the full impact of what's going on in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. We live in a generation, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. I want you to notice something, and I've lost my cordless. All right? I'm not sure where it got put, but that's all right. Oh, it's over there. Hang on. No, that's okay. Brother Josh will get it. Brother Josh, jump up there and grab that because I'm going to need it today. Everybody look at me. You've seen Ugly before. You don't need to see him anymore. All right? That's why I didn't have a woman doing a man's job. She couldn't figure it out. A woman wants to look at it and see how it works. A man says, "Here we go," you know. Now, wait a minute. I believe in doing that which is right. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God, not just what I want to bring. We live in a world of sissy britches preachers. I don't blame Washington, D.C. for the condition of our country. I blame the pulpits in America for the condition of America today. If the pulpit was hot in America like it should be, if preachers would preach righteousness, if preachers would preach truth, we wouldn't have the problem we have in D.C. today. I blame the sissy britches preachers who don't have enough backbone, like a wet spaghetti noodle. They're afraid to preach truth. Well, I might offend somebody. Truth will offend. Truth will offend. By the way, hurt feelings is not offensive.
Right.
Having hurt feelings doesn't mean you've been offended. It means you're not living right.
Amen.
Now, listen to me very carefully here today. Many will label me hard for the way I preach today. I don't care what label they give me. I know this. I know that there is a lot in the Bible about hell. There's a lot of religious people out there who are nice, who preach damnable heresy. Did you hear what I just said? They're nice, they're religious, they talk about Jesus, but they preach damnable heresy. That means people are going to die and go to hell over the fact that they were nice and wiggled when they walked and never mentioned a place called hell. Let me say right here, God makes it very clear that hell is just as real as heaven. There is a real place called heaven, but there's also a real place called hell. Now listen to me very carefully. The word hell is mentioned 162 times in the Bible. 162 times. You say, well, I still don't believe it. Well, Jesus talked about it 70 times. Out of the words of the mouth of our Savior while he was on earth, you say, all 162 times he talked about it because he is the Word of God.
Right.
But 70 times while he was here on earth, he spoke the words about hell himself. Did you know he only mentioned heaven about 30 times? He spoke twice as much about hell as he did heaven. So before everybody gets all in an uproar, may I say this, I'm just the messenger. I have to preach what God said to preach. And hell is just as real as heaven. I enjoy preaching on heaven more than I enjoy preaching on hell. I don't enjoy preaching today. I will not enjoy this sermon, but I must preach it anyway. You see, hell is as real as heaven. Hell is as real as earth. Heaven is real as earth is. Now, hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and the angels that followed him. Someone has said and propagated that it was one third of the angels. I don't know that for sure. God never gave us a number. He just said that the angels that followed him. I can't tell you how many that it was. It may be that it was a third. It may be that it was more. It may be that it was less. I do not know. But I do know that hell was created as a superhuman, super spiritual, super powerful torture chamber for the devil and the angels that followed him. It was not a place created for man. Hell was created before man was created. Now listen to this. Hell and the teaching of it goes against our flesh. I'll be honest with you. It goes against a little bit of our culture. I'm not an ignorant man. I have 2 college degrees. I have a doctor's degree. I have my bachelor's degree. I'm not an uneducated idiot like Hillary Clinton wants everybody to believe. But may I say this, just because I'm educated doesn't mean that hell's not real. Just because you think you're smart and can explain some things away, guess what? It doesn't mean that you're right. To be honest, Hell is one of the few things that's not preached about in most modern churches today. I'll be honest, I don't enjoy it. When I got up, I was awake at 3:30. I got out of bed before 4:30 this morning. I was here at church before 5. When I jumped out of bed this morning, I didn't say, hooray, I get to preach. I said, God, I get to preach today, but I'm not as excited about it as I normally am. I wished I really didn't have to today, at least this morning. You see, hell's just not one of those topics I enjoy. Oh, maybe as a young man you enjoy preaching on hell a little bit more than you do the older you get, but I've watched enough people die. I've watched people die and go there, and it has lost its luster for me. You say, you've watched people die and go to hell? Oh, I have. It's one of the cruelest, most harsh things and realities that you'll ever see in your life. I refuse to only preach the things that I like, though. I must preach the entire Bible. Now, if you'll give me your hearing for a few moments, I think I may help you. Number one, why is there a hell? Why is there a hell? Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, and I will get in the right chapter here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, God made hell and the punishment of hell for the devil and his angels. You need not turn there, but Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Watch this. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Lucifer, the devil, said, I will be like God. I will take God's place. And God says, no, you're going to be brought down to the pit of hell. I am making hell for you and those that follow you. Hell was never intended for man. Hell was intended for Satan, for Lucifer, the archangel, and the angels that followed him, because they went in a rebellious coup attempt to overthrow God, and Satan said, I could be like God. By the way, that's exactly what he tempted man with in Genesis chapter 3.
Sorry.
Now listen to me very carefully here. When man listened to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, man was now guilty of the same sin that Satan was. If you notice in Genesis chapter 3, Satan said to Adam and to Eve that if you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's a good fruit, one to make thee wise, and that you could be like God, knowing good and evil. That means this: you could decide what's good and evil. You didn't need God to tell you what's good and evil. You could be your own God deciding what's good and what's bad. Reminds me of a verse in Judges that said every man did that which was right in the sight of God. Every man did that which was right in the sight of his own eyes. Can I tell you something? We live in a world that if we think it's right, it's right. The LGBT alphabet soup crowd is not right. Even a cow in the pasture has enough sense to know what gender it is. You don't see two bulls shacking up together. They figure it out real quick. It's pretty bad when a cow has more sense than people. Anybody doing okay? I better get going here. God's justice required the same punishment on sin. Can I tell you something? If God made hell for the devil and his angels, and man committed the same sin, but man didn't get the same punishment, God is not just, and God ceases to be God. God had to enlarge hell for man. Proverbs chapter 27, let me read a verse to you. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Isaiah chapter 5, let me read another verse to you. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 14, I'll read it to you. The Bible says there, therefore hell hath enlarged in herself, and hath opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Notice God says that he had to enlarge hell. Can I tell you why he had to enlarge it? Because he did not plan for man to go there. But when man sinned and man chose to do the very thing that Satan did, God's justice required the same penalty. When a man dies, when a woman dies, when a person dies, they go to one place or the other. You will close your eyes in death and wake up in heaven, or you will wake up in hell, and it is your choice, not God's. God, well, why would God, a loving God, send anybody to hell? He didn't. You chose to go there. Jesus Christ came and paid sin's debt for you, so you didn't have to fry in hell. God made it available. You can't get it your way. You've got to do it his way. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how entitled you think you are. You must go God's way or you will not go. You see, God doesn't send man to hell. Man chooses to go there by rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. It's that simple. You can't pay for hell on your own because you are a sinner. It takes a sinless one and a righteous record, not just a sinless record. Did you know if you never sinned as a human being, you'd still die and go to hell? It's not just the lack of sin, it is the presence of righteousness. He comes and washes our sins away, but he lived our righteousness for us and imputes his righteousness to our account. You see, I don't care how sinless you think you are. Guess what? Because you're a sinner, you still have unrighteousness on your account. You could not live enough righteousness to get to heaven. It took someone to do it for you, and God does not send anybody to hell. He made a way available for you not to go there. Where is hell? I hear this a lot. Preacher, where is hell? Well, we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 9, yet thou art cast down to hell. Ezekiel chapter 32, if you want to turn there, you may. I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse number 32. Verse number 27 says this. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen out of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war. They have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquity shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Notice it says down to hell. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. I'm going to read a few verses to you here. Numbers chapter 16. As soon as I get there, sorry. I should be faster with it. But Numbers chapter 16, verse number 30 says this. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they that go down quick into the pit. then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he hath made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, and they and all that appertained unto them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. In other words, God opened up the earth, and they went down to the pit of hell. Isaiah 14 talks about that he was cast down to the pit of hell. Hell is in the center of the earth. Hell is part of earth, but it's enclosed in earth. It is in the pit. It is eternal fire in the pit of the earth. They will tell you that the core of our earth is nothing but molten, fiery lava and hell and melted metals and gases. By the way, might as well say this for all the green people. That's where your oil is created.
Right.
Oil is not a fossil fuel.
Amen.
You take a dead body laying on the side of the road and bury it. I don't care how much heat you put to it or how much pressure. It doesn't turn to oil. It turns to dirt. The Bible says that the earth reproduces it. That heat is what is reproducing the oil that makes it pool in the cooler parts of the earth. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
It is not a fossil fuel. Plant matter doesn't turn to oil.
That's right.
It turns to dirt. Animal matter doesn't turn to oil. It turns to dirt.
Right.
I don't care what you do to it. You can't turn it into oil. You can extract the oils out of it before it dries up. But it doesn't matter what pressure you put on it. It does not turn to petroleum.
Right.
Hell is in the center of the earth. You have to go down to hell. Now, number three, what is hell? What is hell? Well, first of all, hell is a place that was created for the devil and his angels. Second of all, hell is in the heart of the earth. Number three, what is hell? It is a place of torment. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I wished I had time to read this whole passage. I don't. But I will show you some verses here. Luke chapter 16, look at verse. I'm going to take time to read about 10 verses here. Look at verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And where? In hell, lift up his eyes, being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which could pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, that they may also not come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if that one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he saith unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now listen to me. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of fire. The Bible said that just seconds after the rich man died and was in hell, he was asking for one drop of water. He said, one drop of water would cool my tongue. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that has been burned badly. I know you have. My wife and I had some converts in South Carolina, and her husband was in the Navy, and she was cooking one day. She made fried potatoes or something, and she put the oil in one of those Tupperware things while it was still hot. And when she pushed the lid down to make it airtight, it exploded on her. And I mean, it burned her hands, it burned her face. And she called me. They didn't have any furniture in their apartment yet. They were still sitting on boxes waiting for everything to get moved. But she knew to call me. She had my wife and I's phone number sitting there, and she told me what happened. I knew where she was. I happened to have another family in my Sunday school class right across the apartment complex from her. I said, is the front door unlocked? I don't know. I could tell she was in shock. I said, you're going to go to the front door. You're going to unlock it. You're going to sit down in the one chair that you have. And when the paramedics get there and where people come to help you, you just give them my number and let me talk to them. I called a family, had them run across. I called 911, dispatched them to that residence, told them that I would meet them at the hospital. Lori was burned bad. By the time she got to the hospital, she was just already swelling, and boy, it was getting pretty ugly. They'd only been married about 3 weeks. They had to cut her wedding bands off her fingers. And as they cut them off, I looked at the nurse and I said, give them to me. I said, just give them to me. I took them and I put them in my pocket. I knew that one day I would have them fixed so that she could have her wedding bands back. I remember that night. They had done all they could for her. They had soaked them. They had put the medication on them. They had hit her with more stuff to knock her out, and she was still going. They looked at her young husband and said, you drive around till she gets tired, but don't you stop. Don't you let her put her hands in any kind of water. She has to keep them dry now. My wife and I met them at their apartment. I told Ryan, I looked at him, I said, she's going to beg you. I said, she's going to scream. If she sees a mud puddle, she's going to want to jump out of the car. Don't slow down. Drive straight home. I don't care how bad it sounds. I don't care how bad it gets. Do not let her out of the car. Okay, Brother Bush. He got home, and boy, he was white as a sheet. He told me how she screamed in the car. She saw a little puddle on the side of the road, and she wanted to get out and put her hands in it. He literally had to physically restrain her from getting out of the car. We got her home and propped her up, and she kept talking about, she said, I'm in hell, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning. Once she finally came through it, by the way, miraculously, no scars. Oh, by the way, I found out where he had gotten her rings, and I took him back to a store of like manner and told him the story, and the store fixed her rings for free. But I've been at the hospitals. I've been there witnessing to somebody that was lost, that was dying. Been there when they come out of a coma with a crazed look in their eye. And they begin screaming, oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm in hell. Oh my God, to hear the screams and the cursing and the foulness of it. And they're gone. I'll promise you, you never want to hear that. Say, you don't know hell is real, preacher. Yes, I do. God said it is. That's all I need. But I've seen people die and go there. It's not something you want to see. Hell is a place where man will remember his past life. As we read Mark or Luke chapter 16, you saw Lazarus and this rich man, and he's being reminded, do you remember in your day you had this? He had his memory of all the good things that he had. Guess what? When you get to heaven, you'll have no memory of any bad thing you ever had done. There'll be no memory of any sin of any kind. If you were a commode hugging drunk, amen, Brother Mike, you'll never remember it. If you were a drug addict, you'll never remember it. You'll never remember anything sinful about your life. This may be cruel to you now, but you'll find comfort in it in heaven one day. But those that died without Christ in your family that you knew and loved, guess what? You'll not remember them because you couldn't live eternity thinking about them being in hell. You'll have no memory of it. Hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Luke 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 13, verses 42 and verse 50 said, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can I tell you something? If you've never been around people truly in pain, weeping and wailing and biting themselves to try to relieve the pain, you don't understand what that means. It is a place of total darkness. We found here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, where the Bible says, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. If you've never been down in a mine, you don't understand what real darkness is all about. We were in Minnesota, and we went down into the largest iron ore mine in our country. We were a mile and a half down underground. And we all got these little stupid hats on with the lights, you know, Brother Mike, and we're all thinking we're pretty cool. And he said, he lights this candle, and he said, I want everybody to turn your headlights off. So everybody's flipping their hat lights off. And my boys are standing around me, and of course, my boys are energetic. They don't know any strangers. And he says, do I have anybody that would be willing to blow this candle out? Guess who? I will. You know, Mr. Shy. He said, come on over here. And he was standing right next to me. That man brought that candle over. And my son went on that thing. In the next half a second, I felt 10 little fingernails grabbing a hold of my leg. It was darkness that was so dark, you literally put your hand on your face and couldn't see anything. And you realized you were a mile and a half down underground thinking, oh God, keep all that stuff up there. Because there's no way out. You couldn't feel your way out. With no light, it was pretty scary. I knew what was coming, but I'll be honest with you, it was a bit unnerving. I had 30 fingers grabbing into me. And the only reason 10 of them weren't is because they were holding on to Mama. But Mama had her 10 grabbed onto me as well. I hadn't felt her squeeze my arm that hard since she had birthed my kids. I mean, it was just like this. Say, why? She's claustrophobic. Don't put her in a dark room like that. Don't do that. She was like, honey, turn the light on. Honey, turn the light on. No, he didn't tell. He's talking. Honey, turn your light on. No, I'm not doing it. Now, wait a minute. God says hell is like that. If it's like that a mile and a half underground, how about a few hundred miles underground? Hell will be total darkness just like that. Can you imagine spending eternity burning and falling forever in that kind of darkness? Hell is a place that is the total opposite of God's presence. The worst part of hell is not the fire. The worst part of hell is not the falling. It's not the darkness. It's not the anger and the bitterness or the pain. It is the total absence of the presence of God. Hell is dark. Heaven is light. Heaven is love, hell is hate. Heaven is joy, hell is bitterness. Heaven is peace, hell is war. Heaven is victory, hell is continued suffering. Heaven is reward, hell is total punishment. Heaven is health, and in hell you'll still be eating up with the same diseases you had here on earth that will never go away. Heaven is security, hell is continual falling. Hell is the total absence of God's presence. It is a place of eternal falling, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. By the way, my Bible says, about to have a spell, heaven is a place whose foundation, whose ruler and builder is God's. He's not only the ruler and the builder, but he is the foundation of. And there is no falling in heaven. May I say this, Jesus suffered our hell for us at Calvary's cross. Jesus suffered our hell for us at Calvary.
Right.
Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 44. Jesus is there at Calvary. He's been beaten. He's been nailed to the cross. He's been hanging there for 6 hours. Now watch this. Look at verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they had heard that said, this man called for Elias. No, Eli there means my God. Now look at me. Why did he say, my God? Notice, Jesus was God. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And for 3 hours, there was total darkness on the face of the earth. There is total darkness in hell. And there is the total absence of the presence of God in hell. I'm going to have you stand for a moment. You're going to represent Jesus the Son hanging on the cross. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, turned their back on God the Son. And for 3 hours, our Savior hung, suffering your hell and mine. And Jesus took all that he could for 3 hours. And he said, my God, my God the Father, my God the Holy Ghost, why hast thou forsaken me? See, it wasn't just God the Father that turned his back, Brother Mike. Brother Randy, it was God the Holy Spirit too. And he hung there for 3 hours without any of the comforts, without any of the presence of God, suffering our hell for us. There wasn't a word spoken that we know of recorded anywhere during those 3 hours by anyone. You say, why? Because he loved you. Love me, and he loved the Father so much that he was willing to suffer that so that you and I could be restored to the Father. He loved God so much that he wanted God to have man back. Thank you, you can have a seat. You see, he suffered our hell for us Oh, by the way, he went to the heart of the earth when he was buried. Matter of fact, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 31, Acts chapter 1, or Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, it said that he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At that time, there was a place called Abraham's bosom. It was in the heart of the earth. It was a holding place till Jesus came and lived on earth. Watch this. He went there, spent 3 days with the saints that were there and said, come on with me, y'all. But I want you to know something. When he came up in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, he had the keys of death and hell. He said, I got the keys, fellas. I conquered it. I not only went there, I took the keys away and I opened the gate so that anybody that gets saved, we can snatch them out of the fire of hell. He held the keys of death and hell in his hands. He still does, by the way. That's why in Revelation chapter 20, he'll take those keys, open the bottomless pit, and throw the devil in to fall for 1,000 years during the millennial reign here on earth. You say, why? Because Jesus has the keys. Number next. Is Satan in hell now? No, he's not. He is not there. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, he came to earth and tempted Adam and Eve. We find in Job chapter 1 that Satan was standing before God and said, people only serve you because you do things that are good for them. You let me take them and let me do it, and they'll curse you. And he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Did you know that Satan still has access to God the Father in heaven? He runs to and fro seeking whom he may devour, according to the book of 1 Peter. The devil is the prince in the power of the air here on earth. This is his kingdom now. But there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back, and we're coming back with him. We're going to kick him off his throne and throw him in a pit for 1,000 years. And Jesus will rule and reign this earth as he should have all along. That's right. But our sin prevented that. Watch this. The Bible says that the devil's trying to keep every human from trusting Jesus as Savior. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, just about the last page of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Watch me. Notice it said deceive the nations. You want to know who's controlling all the evil in the political scene of the world today? It's the old devil. Look down in verse number 10. That and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to notice something. There's a judgment coming for those who are without Christ. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. We Christians will never be judged for our sins because it was cared for at Calvary. We'll be rewarded according to our works, but we'll never have our sin judged. But those that die without Christ, the Bible says that the sea will give up its dead. The ground will give up its dead. Those that were killed at war or who died in a plane crash over the ocean, their bodies are in the sea. Those who were buried at sea, the Bible says that the oceans will give up their dead. They will stand before God. They will be judged according to all the sum total of the works that they did and the influence of their life that have caused people to die and go to hell in their sins. May I say something to you? Adolf Hitler's sins have yet to be determined how deep they really are. The Japanese soldiers who tortured the Chinese and others during World War II, the profundity of their torture has yet to be known, how deep it yet goes. Those who have killed someone in their murder and died in their murderous ways, the Jeffrey Dahmers who ate people's bodies after he murdered them, may I say something? The depth of that sin is yet to be determined. The daddy who died without Christ, a drunkard who had beat his wife and children, can I tell you something? Not because he didn't go to hell because he was a drunkard, he went to hell because he didn't trust Christ as his Savior. We don't know how deep that runs. The great white throne judgment will be a sum total of how far down the line that goes. The LGBTQ alphabet soup crowd of today, Bible says that God will have more tolerance for Sodom and Gomorrah than those that do it today. We've had an example of two cities being totally destroyed by God, knowing what sin that brings forth. Everybody doing okay? God said it'll be more tolerable for them in hell than it will be for the crowd today. I didn't say it, God did. See, the devil has power here on earth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 12. Principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and powers. The word principalities is the word government. We would use the word municipalities. Principalities and municipalities are virtually the same word. It is areas of rule of human government. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now watch this. That word powers is a very interesting word. You look it up in the Greek, it means the freedom to do what you want to do. I have the right to marry another man, and I have the right not to marry them as a preacher. Amen. Well, I have the right to not know if I'm a man or a woman. Folks, if you don't know that, you got to go back to school. But go to a real school, not public education. Folks, I've said it before. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Right.
Two men don't have babies. Two women don't have babies. It's simple logic. Everybody doing okay? That word powers, the freedom to do as you want. I have the freedom to do whatever I want. That's not true. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, the freedom to swing your fist ends at the end of my nose.
Right.
A lot of truth in that. The darkness of this world, that's the violence of our nation. That's the media. That's the games that we play. Folks, some of us play with more violence and more darkness than we understand. Do you ever look at the names of some of these games that people play on their computers? Resident Evil. Oh, that sounds like a good one. There's a TV show out called Lucifer. I think CBS has it out. Oh, that's a real good one for people to watch. Dungeons and Dragons. That's no different than a Ouija board. has everything to do with evil powers and satanic powers. And by the way, I believe in those powers that are real. They're just as real as other spiritual powers on the right side. Darkness of this world. Most of you are depressed all the time because you watch the news and believe half of what you see. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Everybody hold on. You can look that word up anywhere you want. May I say something? That literally means spiritual wickedness in intellectualism. Has everything to do with high places, high education. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not for people being stupid. I'm for education, but I'm for real education, not programming people to believe falsehoods. That's where you get your New Age movement. That's where you get these mystical New Age stuff. It's amazing how much higher education has destroyed the spirituality in America today. You know that the first five colleges in America, what you would call the Ivy League colleges in America, were started as Bible colleges? Harvard, Yale, Princeton were all started as Bible colleges for preachers. The only educated people in America at one point in time were the preachers. And our government helped get them set up so that the preachers could preach the Bible and teach people how to be better citizens, because our government knew Christians were better citizens than non-Christians.
Right.
The purpose of teaching boys and girls to read and write was to teach them to read the Word of God so they could be better citizens for their country.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? You didn't have your first public school president until FDR. He was the first one that hadn't been taught in a one-room schoolhouse or homeschooled in his life. Watch this, and you take the New Deal and put it next to the Communist Manifesto, and you'll look at an identical document with different English and Russian. He was so upset he couldn't get it through the Supreme Court that he asked for the American people to give him more Supreme Court justices so they could get it passed through. Five times it took before it got through the Supreme Court. And that only because one of them died. And we wonder, by the way, it was FDR who granted the right to change history and the writing of and the teaching of history in the public school system. It was under FDR, listen to me, that evolution was brought into the public school system. Evolution is not a science.
That's right.
Evolution is a religion.
That's right.
Evolution violates every law of science because science requires observation. Science cannot observe millions and millions and millions of years of change.
That's right.
They haven't observed any change. It breaks all of the laws of science. Many have quit preaching hell. And they're sending people to hell by not preaching it. I don't care how intellectual they sound, how suave or debonair they sound, if they're not preaching the whole counsel of God and salvation by grace through faith and sinners who die in their sin die and go to hell, I don't care who they are, I don't care how sharp they look, how suave they sound, they are sending people to hell, and that's damnable heresy. Plain and simple. May I say this? Did you know God loved you so much that he made a way possible for you not to have to go to hell?
Right.
He did not do that for the devil and his angels, but he did do it for you and for me.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to die and go to hell. If you do, it's your choice. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you what God says. I'm not accountable if you die and go to hell because I've told you the truth. I'll be honest with you. My responsibility ends with giving you the truth. It's your responsibility to get it right with him. Not mine. But I wonder, are you ready to die? If you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If not, you're probably on your way to hell. And if I were you, before you walk out those two doors today, I'd make sure that you get it settled. Because you're not guaranteed another breath.
That's right.
Well, I'm young. I've preached sermons at cemeteries for babies. For boys and girls, for teenagers, for young adults, middle-aged adults, for old people and people over 100 years old. Death is not a respecter of age. And the moment you quit living here, you're there. The decision is already made. Let me ask you a question. To those of you that are saved, have you ever told somebody else the gospel so they didn't have to die and go to hell? Maybe you're a Christian living like hell on earth because you're trying to live without God's presence here. Maybe we should quit trying to live like hell on earth. How about we get God's presence in and live like heaven on earth versus hell on earth? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'd ask you to be very appropriate right now. No talking, no moving. You'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put them down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not come to you. I won't beg you. But you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you need to do business with God, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, how about you come get baptized today? If you've been saved and baptized and have not joined this church, how about you walk the aisle right now? Come forward. We'll have you join the church. Joining church won't take you to heaven, though. It'll make you a church member. Most important thing is to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die.